You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Let's save baseball. We're in a rain delay. We're in a rain delay during the MLB playoffs. Let's save baseball. Here's how I want to save baseball. Everybody does crack.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Perfect! We've saved Major League Baseball! The kids are into it again!
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome in to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. My name's Josh Briscoe, Beards McFly, producing the whole shebang. If you're just tuning in right now for this little Chiefs bit of the show today, I'm glad you're here for this. However, there is a lot more of this show that exists that I think is worth your time. I am a biased person, but at least give it a shot. If you're a podcast listener, you can always search anywhere, literally anywhere that you get podcasts. Search for Almost Entirely Sports. I don't know if you have to have the parentheses around almost or not, but, you know, you could try it either way. If you search Entirely Sports, you'll probably find it. And we talk about things other than the Chiefs, not necessarily other sports things. It's, you know, occasionally almost other sports things. What? But I do want to give a little bit of today's show to a conversation about the Kansas City Chiefs that I find interesting. Beards, did you just look something up? What do you?
I did Almost Entirely Sports without parentheses into my Android, and it pulled it up.
All right, there we go.
There you go. Android confirmed.
Somebody out there with an iPhone, go to Apple Podcasts and search for Almost Entirely Sports, both with and without the podcast, without the parentheses, and see. Let me know how it works. But I want to talk about the Chiefs today in this sense, asking where they fit now in a kind of bizarre, certainly messy AFC. We said a few weeks into the season that the Chiefs are taking advantage of the imbalance in the AFC. And then they lost 3 out of 4 games. The offense looked really gross in 2 of them. The defense costs them in the 3rd. And they're now a more flawed-looking team, even if they're not necessarily actually more flawed. They're certainly a team carrying more losses than they were, obviously, before the losses. But they're also now in an AFC that has potentially 3 other threats, a total now of 4 threats to the top 2 seeds in the AFC, which would obviously give you home field advantage in a bye week. And I say 3 now, and it's exactly 3, because one of the teams in the AFC South has a real chance. Let's start, though, with the Patriots. Right now, the Patriots are 7-2. To know where the Chiefs stand here, you've got to look around the rest of the AFC. The Patriots right now are 7-2. The toughest remaining games are at Oakland this week and then at Pittsburgh in week 15. Those are 2 losable games. I don't really see them having any other games on the schedule that they have any sort of legitimate chance to lose. And I don't think that they're going to lose at Oakland. I'll take the Patriots on the road in that game. But it's a losable game, as is, of course, at Pittsburgh. The Patriots are going to win 13 or 14 games. But if they tie with the Chiefs have the tiebreaker because of the head-to-head matchup back in week 1. So, up against the Steelers, depending on where the Steelers are at that point, we might just prefer that the Patriots go ahead and take that win if they lose to Oakland, if Pittsburgh is pacing with the Chiefs. We'll talk about that more in a second. But the Steelers are 7-2, and their toughest remaining games at this point are versus Tennessee this week on Thursday Night Football. Thursday Night Football is weird. Stuff happens. But it is at home, which is a big advantage for the Steelers, and the Titans are a good team, not a great team. And then, of course, they have the game against the Patriots at home in week 15, everything else looks like a victory. The Steelers are going to win 13 or 14 games this year. They struggled against the Colts this week and ended up making it happen. But and they always struggle on the road. They always have weird, except for, you know, an Arrowhead. But they seem like one of those teams, maybe more than any other really legitimate contender, that is just going to stumble on the road here or there. The problem is that their road games, the remainder of this season, their only road games the remainder of this season, are at the Bengals and at the Texans. They're not going to lose either of those games. They have the Packers at home, which would have obviously been a lot of fun if it wasn't Brett Hundley. So the Steelers are not going to lose two more games this year. I'd be relatively confident. 13 or 14 games. Obviously, those are teams the Chiefs have to worry about. The Titans are 6-3, but they're at Pittsburgh this week. They have to go at Indianapolis. They have to play the Rams at home and the Jags at home. I'll probably pick against them in three of those. That makes the Titans a 10-6 team, 11-5 at best. The Chiefs cannot lose two more of their games the rest of the way. I'll talk about that in a second. But I think the Chiefs are definitely at the advantage over the Titans. The Jaguars, though, even with a bad quarterback, even as the team that actively sabotaged their own chances to win a Super Bowl this year by not signing Colin Kaepernick in the preseason, even then, listen to what the Jags have the rest of the season. They're currently 6-3, just like the Chiefs. Their toughest remaining games are the Colts at home, the Seahawks at home, and at the Titans. I think they're going to handle the Colts at home. I think you have to pick the Jags there. The Seahawks at home, no Richard Sherman. Now that one becomes very interesting. Maybe you take the Seahawks on the road. I probably will. At the Titans, I think the Jags might be able to handle that one. Their defense is suffocating. So all of a sudden now, the Jaguars are 12-4, even with Blake Bortles. So what about the Chiefs then? The Patriots are going at least 13-3. If the Patriots win out, then obviously that's over. If the Steelers win out, obviously that's over. Neither of those teams can't both win out, though, because they play each other in Week 15. In Week 15, we should probably be rooting for the Steelers, because if the Patriots drop to 13-3 and the Chiefs win out, the Chiefs are the 2 seed. If the Steelers win out, they're the 1 seed. An AFC Championship game at Pittsburgh doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun, but the Chiefs have to get to an AFC Championship game, and a bye week would be a huge help in the path to doing that. So what does the Chiefs' schedule look like from here on out? We've looked at the rest of the AFC. I don't think that the Steelers can even be in the conversation, because they have to lose at Tennessee this week and versus New England. Versus Tennessee this week and versus New England for the Chiefs to jump them, and then the Patriots have to lose at Oakland this week and then beat the Steelers for the Chiefs to have a real chance at the 1 seed. But the Chiefs' future here is fascinating. We talked about this before the season. We looked at the schedule and went, wow, this is a completely different season after the bye week. And that has held up. In fact, it's gotten better for the Chiefs, because the Giants were a contender, a playoff team before the season. No longer. The Bills, for a little bit, look like they would be a contender. They're the only team in the rest of the schedule that has a winning record currently, and they just got demolished last week by the Saints in Buffalo. At the Jets are a dumpster fire. Versus the Raiders, the Raiders at home cannot beat the Chiefs again. Versus the Chargers at home cannot beat the Chiefs, period. Dolphins at home, at the Broncos. The Chiefs are going to be favored in every one of those games, and they should be. The Chiefs should be favored in the remainder of the games that they play this year. They should win every game from here on out. Now, you can go ahead and have the fear that they will lose some game just because they're the Chiefs, And that happens sometimes. I get that for sure. I understand that cynicism. But you have to, if you believe the Chiefs are actually a good team, you have to believe in their ability to win games against worse teams. So then what? If the Chiefs win the games they're supposed to win and end up 13-3, they do still have a chance, a very real chance, at that bye week. But it's going to have to be by hopping the Patriots and not the Steelers. Because the Chiefs lost that Steelers tiebreaker, obviously. So, fingers crossed for the Steelers losing to the Titans this Thursday. That would be wonderful. Also unexpected. Fingers crossed for the Patriots losing at Oakland this week. That would be wonderful and also unexpected. The new route for the Patriots, though, in week 15, and the 2 seed opens back up for the Chiefs. It's an option. It's a window open. Now, beyond that, well, because the Chiefs are the 2 seed, and they get the higher of the seeded teams going into the next round, and this is, it's the Patriots, isn't it? If the Patriots do win at Pittsburgh in week 15 and the Chiefs win out, then the Chiefs are almost definitely going to be hosting the Patriots in the divisional round of the playoffs. That's too bad. That's unfortunate. Because the Patriots would be the 3 seed and the Jags would probably be the 4 seed, and then they play like the Titans and the Bills or something. Maybe the Titans and the Raiders, I don't know. And then so the Chiefs would have to beat the Patriots and the Steelers on the road to the Super Bowl, and that doesn't seem particularly likely right now, does it? Well, the mental math was fun while it lasted. You want to go ahead and look ahead to next season? Not just me being a pain, but actually there's an article on Arrowhead Pride by Kent Swanson. Swanson? I don't know. I guess Swanson makes more sense. And it was discussing how the Chiefs fit into an NFL that's currently very thirsty for quarterbacks. And he makes the case, I think, very well and relatively, like, obviously, for why the Chiefs are in a really good position to trade Alex Smith this next offseason. I know he's played very well. We talked about this some yesterday. The offense has had a problem during the Steelers and Cowboys games this year. And it's not that Alex Smith isn't doing what Andy Reid asks him to do. It's that I'm starting to think that Andy Reid still doesn't want to ask Alex Smith to do everything that he actually needs to do. And so that transition is going to happen. The Chiefs are ultimately going to move on from Alex Smith after this offseason unless they do go ahead and beat the Steelers and the Patriots en route to a Super Bowl whenever they inexplicably lose Jared Goff or something. But it was an interesting read, and it went back to the most obvious solution. If Ben Roethlisberger doesn't retire, and Kent doesn't talk much about the Broncos. I think he has the Broncos drafting somebody. But the Broncos would make a lot of sense for Alex Smith, but I think it would be hard to let Alex Smith stay in the division if you do have the ability to trade him. But Jacksonville makes all the sense in the world, man. Jacksonville did that thing where you build a team and then you need a quarterback to, if not elevate the team, at least make it palatable at the quarterback position. And Alex Smith can obviously do that. He did that in Kansas City. I don't know if he can do what he did the first half of this year. We don't know what he'll do the second half of this year, obviously. But he can, at the very least, go into a terrible quarterback situation in Jacksonville with a very good rest of the team scenario and continue to make them an actual, like, AFC contender. That is a very obvious possibility. It makes all the sense in the world there. And I think the Chiefs are still ready to move on. Beard, you've been doing a lot of fidgeting back there, and I'm
Nothing.
Wondering.
Wait for it.
Is it something that we get to hear this segment?
No.
Or it's a liner?
Maybe.
For the next segment?
Yes.
I wasn't really ready to break yet, but now I think maybe we just should.
Eh, you can keep going.
I want to know, though.
You will. In about half a penguin poop?
Also, if you're just joining us, I think that somebody, some I don't know who, which barbecue company, but I'm pretty sure there is a barbecue company in the building currently.
Not allowed to talk to you about that.
That brought food, but Beards is trying to keep me from getting the food that I want so desperately.
Actually, it's Lebo, as we've already established.
I'm pretty sure I saw a plate of it back there. Like, I know it's here. Again, like, I was walking to the kitchen to fill up my water bottle with some of that metallic lukewarm water that we get out of our taps, and I moved the box of donuts for the barbecue guy to put his stuff in there. I mean, most people in this building leave at 5 o'clock.
We're like the only ones that don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Like there will be like 5 or 6 people in this building.
Oh, 2. Maybe 3.
That's not entirely true.
Maybe 3. Maybe 4.
I can think of...
And that's on a busy day.
There are probably going to be a half a dozen people in this building about a penguin poop and a third from now. 1 1/3 penguin poops from now. And I think that's whenever I'm going to army crawl into the kitchen area and try to make my move on some food. Did I depress anybody with the Chiefs thing? My dad has called this show both sometimes or partially sports with Joshua Briscoe, occasionally sports with Joshua Briscoe. Clinton has called it sometimes sports. That's all totally fair, by the way. Also, Charlie is here now. Charlie not holding a plate of barbecue. I just saw him mouth the words, there's a lot of food
no,
in there.
No, Lebo said no.
I don't know.
There's definitely no food in
there. Oh, damn it. It's going to block you guys from my vision. Ivan tweeted in, he said, the Chiefs, after the bye, are going to need to look like the team that started out 5-0 with better defense. Well, so this is the thing that's so interesting that kind of makes all of this confusing. And also, okay, so this is me being fatalistic, but I promise I have good reasoning for it. The Chiefs can look awesome the rest of this season, and it's not going to mean a damn thing to me. You know what I mean? Like, the Chiefs could absolutely obliterate the Giants, Bills, Jets, Raiders, Chargers, Dolphins, and Broncos. And it's not gonna mean a bleeping thing. The only thing that matters is that they beat the Steelers and the Patriots. They took care of the Patriots, and I feel like they could beat the Patriots again. It feels like they haven't beaten the Steelers in my lifetime. I know that's not true. It's how it feels right now. So I do think, you know, it'll be nice to, you know, play with the idea that the Chiefs are back if they go and beat a bunch of bad teams. And if you want to consider them to be a good team, you have to beat the bad ones. Obviously. But it's not going to mean to me that they're somehow now magically ready for the Steelers or whatever is next. I just looked over my shoulder and I just saw Brad Porter and Charlie Carlin picking up things as one of them dropped. Beards, master of radio, shrugs at me in response. Thank you, Beards.
Yep. As I remind you, we are a visual medium as well now.
Yeah, but like 2% of the people who consume this show consume it visually. And I'm telling you, there's no way that your shrug is really
change
making
Change the show, man. Change the whole show. Best part.
How do you think that was, right? I rested my head on my microphone in disgust and despair and silence. You think that was good for our visual medium? Beards, ever the master of radio, stares at me in utter silence. Listen, the point I wanted to make this segment is that the Chiefs are going to definitely keep or make up, I guess, their distance on the Titans. The Jags have a really good schedule, but I think the Chiefs are still going to be okay. And that we should be rooting, obviously, against the Patriots and Steelers up until Week 15 until we hope that the Patriots win at Pittsburgh, which seems sort of unlikely. But even if the Chiefs do get a bye week, they're probably going to have to end up playing the Patriots and then the Steelers. And that's the kind of depression that will get you through the weekend. I hope. And it's not that it's Friday or anything. It's like that's the sports fact that should sit with you in your times of darkness and sorrow. Because, man, like the Steelers haven't even looked that good. Like, I just saw them on NFL Network. It was Roethlisberger throwing a pick to somebody on the Colts. The dysfunctional, broken Colts. And they made the Chiefs look so bad. The Chiefs' offense did nothing. And the Cowboys did the same. In fact, there was a video that I watched some of today talking about how, how the Chiefs were made to look so flat against the Cowboys. And the overarching theory was that if you can take away Alex Smith's pre-snap reads and he sort of just loses his confidence, which makes sense. That's one of his biggest strengths, is figuring out what's going on before it actually happens. Do you see the problem in that? If that's true, then everyone's going to do it for the rest of the season. And it seems like the Steelers have been really good at figuring out how to make Alex Smith leading this offense look really atrocious. They've done it the last two times flawlessly. And I'm not a huge fan of that going forward. I don't know. Talking about the Steelers and the Chiefs makes me sad. Also, being lied to about the existence of barbecue makes me sadder.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.